Thank you, Children's Choir, for your ministry of music, and thank you to Kendra and Greta for your leading in that way and directing. Just appreciate all of your ministries to us this past year. I want to begin with a simple question tonight, and that is, who are you an example to? Who are you an example to? And maybe start a list running in your head. Who do you influence? Who do you impact with your life? Who are you an example to? And as I ask such a question, if I even gave you maybe about 5 minutes to make a list, I would venture to guess that it is more than we realize, more than you could even guess or list on a page. Tonight, we're gonna be challenged from the Word of God to consider the depths of our example, of our influence, of our lives, and who we are examples to, and in what example we are setting. So tonight, we are going to be dealing with the first five verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and this passage should be somewhat familiar to us as we've looked at this passage several times over these last couple of studies in 2 Corinthians. As Paul has, and we've alluded to them and even read some of the verses, as Paul was sending a team to Corinth, and they explain some of the reason why he sends Titus, why he sends the famous preacher of the gospel, and why he sends the man often tested. And if you remember, the section we've been dealing with in chapter 8 and now chapter 9 is speaking of contributing to those in need, helping out financially those who are in need of assistance. And Paul, in these five verses that we're going to be looking at this evening, we've looked at before, but not in their totality or in their fullness, he speaks of how the church of Corinth, here in this passage, he speaks of how they're well acquainted with this contribution or with this giving. They know full well what they should do. They should do, as he begins here in verse 1, he says, "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry of the saints." Superfluous, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, simply means not necessary. That's what the actual Greek word means. That's what the English word means here too. But it especially means in the Greek that Paul is saying, I'm going beyond what I need to here in writing to you concerning the ministry or the relief or the assistance of the saints, or just another word speaking of those who truly believe. And this is because, or he's saying, I'm going beyond what I need to bring out to you, or what you need to know concerning this contribution, as he's already wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 16, and we're not going to look there this evening. We've looked at it before, but he spoke of this, and the Corinthians, they responded to it positively. So they know full well what he's called them to do, and even we're going to find what they committed themselves to, or they responded positively, as we have here in verse 2. Paul continues on and says, "For I know your readiness," speaking of this giving, this contribution, "of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." So the Corinthians, when this was brought before them, and Paul said, this is something that is going on, this is something that would be good for you to do, he instructed them to do so, they showed an interest in it. Okay, they expressed a willingness to give in such a way. The Corinthians had originally, they seemed prepared to give. But even though they knew quite well about this giving and had shown themselves desirous to take part in it, for some reason, as we find here in this whole passage, for some reason, Paul seems to be concerned that they wouldn't give, that they wouldn't follow through. And that's why he sent this three-man team down to Corinth. As it says first in 2 Corinthians 9:3, he says, "But I am sending the brothers," speaking of these three that we've looked at, "so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, prepared to give, as I said you would be." And he finishes out our passage in verse 5 by saying, "So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction." So this three-man team seems to be both, in part, they were to bring this letter, exhort the Corinthians, but also they were to begin this collection, to begin to collect what the Corinthians would give. And Paul is calling the Corinthians ultimately to follow through on a promise that they had made. And we saw this back in 2 Corinthians 8, 10 through 12. So he, to some extent, is repeating some of the same themes, some of the same things he has said, as he said in 2 Corinthians 8, 10 and following. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now, finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. So Paul, in our passage then this evening, is calling the Corinthians to do as they said that they would do. So this isn't something new. This isn't something unheard of. He's calling them to do what they said they would do, and he's calling them ultimately to be selfless. We get this at the very end of our text this evening, as Paul says, so that it may be ready as a willing gift. This literally means to be a blessing, or so that you might be a blessing. Bless them by financially giving. Give up some of your money that as you have committed yourselves to. Instead, as we find in the last phrase, instead of being greedy, as he says, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. This literally is what it speaks of, being greedy in the Greek, selfish with their money. If they said that they would give and then they decide not to, being fully capable of still giving, it's not like they've run out of their money, they are keeping back their money for themselves. They are being driven by sin and greed, is what Paul is bringing out here at the very end, rather than their devotion to God and their brothers and sisters in Christ. Much of this we've considered, so a lot of this really shouldn't be new to us this evening if we've been here in these last couple of weeks in 2 Corinthians. And I thought about moving on this week, thought about just kind of skipping over this passage. We've dealt with it to some extent, maybe not fully or verse by verse, but we've alluded to it to a good amount of times. But as I considered these five verses and I looked at them, read them over, something jumped out at me, something that I would say hasn't been alluded to yet, and I also haven't brought out or previewed as we looked at some of the other verses, and I believe it's important for us to spend some time on this this evening. And that is, as we consider 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 5, what caught my interest, or not my interest, what just caught my attention is that the Corinthians are said by Paul here, he says that they have been an example to others. The Corinthians had been an example to others that their lives were followed by other individuals. They motivated others to live for the Lord. And we see this, and I want to highlight this as we really begin looking at this. He says again in 2 Corinthians 9, 1 and 2, "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry of the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year," and then it says even more clearly, "and your zeal stirred up most of them." So the Corinthian church and how they responded to this contribution, to this thing that was being brought to the churches, it led churches. It led none other than the Macedonian churches to follow suit, to do what they were doing. We began this giving section, if you remember, in this letter, considering the example of none other than the Macedonians. So here we have the Macedonians spoke about in that underlined section. Paul began speaking of the Macedonians, their example in giving selflessly, sacrificially, as it said again in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, talking about these people that the Corinthians were examples to. It says this in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God, to us." So in chapter 8, the Macedonians are used by Paul. They are brought forth by Paul as an example. And now we turn a chapter over our text this evening, and we find who was originally an example to the Macedonians. What was one of the causes of their giving? It was the Corinthians. The example of the Corinthians, as again Paul says there at the very end, and your zeal, speaking of the Corinthian church, your zeal has stirred up most of them. So tonight we're going to consider the power of an example. From 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 5, I want to trace this theme both here and in some of the other verses of this of these chapters. As we consider the example of the Corinthians to the Macedonians, and our theme for this section will be God in His grace uses us as examples of godly living in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So from such a text, we need to walk away this evening realizing the influence and the impact that we have on other Christians. And as you consider this theme, and even some of the verses that we've considered already, you might, and you should ask, where in the text do we find God? As I begin this theme by saying, God in His grace uses us. Well, we have to look back at the beginning of chapter 8 again. As we have seen in our text tonight, the Corinthians are said to be an example to the Macedonians, but God, He's not mentioned here in our five verses. But if we go back to chapter 8, we consider the example that Paul speaks of the Macedonians, we see God's part, we see Him using the Corinthian church's example at the very start of this giving section, 2 Corinthians 8:1, He said, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." About the grace of God. If you remember several weeks back when we dealt with this passage, we saw that the grace of God, it speaks of two things. First, it refers to God's working in the Macedonians. God working in them so that they would give in such a way. And the second way that this grace is being used here when Paul says about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, the second way that's being referred to is what they had done. Or what they had been, or what they had given is a grace, it is a gift to those who would receive it. So as we consider that first explanation, that it was God's grace, God's power and working that the Macedonians would ever give in such a way, and we consider that with the influence the Corinthians had upon them as we read in our text tonight, we can see how God used the example of the Corinthians in the Macedonians' lives, that God uses the example of other Christians in other Christians' lives, that this is one way that God grows us, brings us to live for Him through the model of others. So along with Bible reading, along with the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, along with trials and hardship, God uses our brothers and our sisters in Christ and their lives to grow us in Christ's likeness. We see that from such a text. We see it from other texts as well in the Scriptures. And my question as we really begin this study and look at our passages, do you realize the example you set? Are you aware of the impact your life and how you are living and what you are saying, how it impacts other Christians, even those you don't know, as we'll consider this evening? Also, do we collectively as a whole church realize the influence that we have as a church? And that's actually how we're going to begin looking at this example, looking at these verses as we consider the Corinthians as a whole, as a church. So the first point that I want us to consider as we think about this example, the example the Corinthians were to the Macedonians, is we as a whole church are an example to others. So we consider how God uses an example. We see specifically in this text multiple people, collectively, as in the Greek, and even we don't need to know the Greek to be able to see that this is alluded to, that's not one person or even the pastor that's being referred to, but it's the whole church of Corinth that is being referred to in this text. As I read, notice the yous and the yours, and all of these are plural, and he even speaks of the church in speaking of multiple people as well. As Paul says, "For I know your readiness," whole church he's talking about, "of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated. to say nothing of you for being so confident. So this is the whole church that Paul is ultimately talking about, their example. Their example stirred up the churches of Macedonia. So certainly we're going to be applying this text this evening to individuals or us individually as we think about our example. But we need to first and foremost, as I think is the truest application of this text, we need to consider Lebanon BFC, us as a whole, and how we all stand as an example to others. A church stands as an example to others, just as the Corinthian church as a whole influenced the churches in Macedonia. So it should cause us individually to realize how our conduct can reflect upon the rest of Lebanon BFC. It should cause the elders to evaluate how the church is conducting itself, where we are leading this church. It should make us realize as Christians that we can't just look upon ourselves as individuals or singular, but we individually are part of something greater. As we consider ourselves as a church, I would ask you, what example are we setting? Is our influence positive or negative? As new people walk in these doors, what are they seeing in us? What example do we set, even as we think about our denomination? We're part of a denomination. What example do we set for the rest of the Bible Fellowship Church denomination? So we find from this passage first, then, that the Lord can use our church collectively as an example to others. Second, as we think about this example, we can be an example to those who we do not know. If you look again with me at verse 2, it says, "For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." We get no sense that these churches know each other. If we look at the beginning of verse 2, the part that I have bolded and underlined, Paul had to share this with the churches of Macedonia. It's not like the Corinthians were boosting themselves up or talking proudly about themselves, but Paul is the one that actually is the middleman here, and he's how they know of each other. It's through Paul. We're told of how the Corinthians, or they were told of how the Corinthians were enthusiastic to give. Their passion is shared by Paul to the Macedonians, and that is what spurred on the Macedonians. Their response to this was an example to the Macedonians, and we get no sense here that they knew each other. So they could be an example, even though they did not know each other personally. I think as I think back upon my own life, going to Victory Valley Camp, and I think about being a camper at Victory Valley, and there were staff members who I didn't know. They certainly didn't know me, but I didn't know them personally. They weren't my counselor, but I looked up to them. I can think of some of their names even now. I was watching how they acted. I was hearing what they said. We can be an example to others even if we don't know them personally. If we don't know them by name, or they don't know us by name, or we have never met them. In the BFC, oftentimes you can think of, we get something in our bulletin sometimes called Fellowship News, or we have a BFC magazine, and sometimes things are shared concerning churches. Even the other year, we had Director Gundrum come, and he shared about some of the churches in the BFC. Even though we don't know those people personally, or we don't know the whole church as a whole, they can stand as an example to us. I think of biographies. The example people are to us who we don't know one bit, even oftentimes they lived in a different time period than us, but we can grow and mature from their example. Again, thinking about my own life, I personally like to listen to podcasts interviewing other pastors who I don't know at all. I've never met them, but hearing about their life, how they think about ministry is a help in my development as a pastor. So we may have never met the person. We may have never met anyone from the church. And people may not have met us personally, but we may stand as an example to them. Just as we see the Corinthians, Macedonians probably never meeting, not knowing each other personally, the Lord can use our example no matter if we know the person or not. Next point is similar that we get from the Corinthians' example, and that is we can be an example if we realize it or not. So similar verses that I'll bring out here. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:2, "For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia." So there's no sense here that the Corinthians knew that they were being shared as an example. Paul was just doing it. He was boasting of them, speaking highly of them as it continues on and says, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year and your zeal has stirred up most of them. So here again, we look at the fact that Paul talks about how he shared their example. He proclaimed it. We don't have the exact words, but he may have said something like the Corinthians responded favorably and were excited to give to help other Christians. He may have shared that with the Macedonians. The Corinthians are really passionate about living for the Lord in this way. And again, this isn't the Corinthians posing themselves as examples or proclaiming themselves, but someone else was speaking highly of them. Paul sharing this, talking highly about this church. Their example spread that way so that they probably weren't even aware of people looking to them as an example until Paul has shared it now. And I would imagine many of us do a very similar thing, not in a gossipy way, not in the form of gossip, but in an encouraging way. You may say to someone, so-and-so has really gotten involved in the work of the church. So-and-so really has grown in their relationship with the Lord. You might share that with another believer. So-and-so really has been committed to coming to church. So-and-so often, have you ever noticed, they hang around and help clean up. So-and-so has really taken to sharing the gospel with unbelievers. And so, when we share such a thing, their example spreads. People learn of what this person is doing. They may have never seen it themselves, but they learn of their example, how they're living for the Lord. And that is exactly what Paul did for the Macedonians. And so, our circle of influence may be a lot larger than we realize. Our lives may have an impact upon a lot more people than we would ever think. You could just think about the children and the teens that are watching you. Okay, often, children, teens are watching the adults, watching people that they're around, looking up to you, but they don't say a word about it. You never know what we are doing. Maybe shared in a commending way with someone else, someone noticing how you're serving the Lord. So the Word of God shows us that the Lord can use our example no matter if we realize it or not. And I just realized I had the wrong point up there. I apologize. So now we move forth to we mutually can be examples to each other. Okay, one of the neat things that we see here as we think about this example of the Corinthians being an example is how Paul, at the start of chapter 8, he used the Macedonians as an example to them. Again, verse 2, at the very end, it says, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. And then after the Corinthians set the example, the Macedonians are used as an example for them in return. As 2 Corinthians 8:1 says again, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. So we find it doesn't always have to just go one way. Okay, it's not just the Corinthians being an example for the Macedonians, but it reverses itself. Paul uses the Macedonians as an example then for the Corinthians. The beginning example may end up benefiting from the example of the one whom they influenced. The child may end up being an example to the parent. The Sunday school teacher may years later end up being spurred on from an example of one of their Sunday school students. The mentor may be inspired from someone that they poured into previously. And this is what was taking place with the Corinthians and the Macedonians. The one who is an example can learn from and follow the example that was originally set for them. As brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord uses us as examples for each other, if it is either in giving or if it's in serving, raising children, in marriage, if it's in the words that we speak or our conduct. And from this passage, from the points that we've gotten up to this point, from this passage, we can see how it doesn't have to be someone older than us that we learn from or are influenced by. But it could be someone younger, it could be someone who we led at one point, no matter the age or the relationship, we can mutually be examples to each other as the Corinthians and the Macedonians were for each other. And as we think about this, there needs to be humility in doing such a thing. Not seeing ourselves as better or superior or above the example of others, but seeking to learn from the examples of others all around us. So, from the scriptures, we see how the Lord can use our example in the lives of others and their example in our lives, no matter the age, no matter the relationship. And now, we really get to the crux of why Paul brings up their example, why he would even talk about their example, and that is that we as examples need to see that we follow through. Again, I'll read first verses 3 through 5 as Paul has a call for them. He says, "But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready. As I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated to say nothing of you for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that you may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction." So Paul told the Macedonians of how the Corinthians were so willing to participate in this collection. He shared their example. He spoke highly of them. But if the Corinthians didn't give, then there would be consequences, which we'll look at in the next point. But here, one of the reasons that Paul is calling them to be ready to give, that he is sending these three men to them, is because of how they began, because of the influence that they had been to others. So from such a passage, we need to realize that our lives don't just impact ourselves, but they impact others. When we make commitments, like the Corinthians made this commitment and began giving or saying that they would give, when we make commitments, we need to follow through for the specific reason here we see for others. When we say we will do something, we need to go forward with it. If it be a commitment to give as a member of the church, which we looked at several weeks back, if it be your marriage vows, if it be the commitments you make as an elder or deacon, if it be promises you make to be somewhere or to do something, we need to follow through on these first and foremost because of our relationship with God. But the specific reason that Paul highlights here is for our relationship with other believers. The example we set for them in these things, the way that we have followed, or they have followed because of what we said, done, or said. And then if we don't, as I said, there will be consequences. And that's what Paul brings up. He brings it up first as we move to our next point, and that is we as examples produce consequences in the way in which we live. The first consequence is brought out in 2 Corinthians 9:3, as he says, "But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter." Their boasting, the example that Paul's boasting, the example that Paul spoke of would become empty. It would be rendered void, is what it means here, if they didn't go forward and give as they said they would. Their example would really go poof into the air. And so no longer would they be an example. And even further, if Paul's boasting is proven not to be the case because they don't follow through, not that he was lying, but the Corinthians could easily maybe accuse him of lying. "You said the Corinthians would give this way. You said that they were motivated and passionate about this." It may very well cause the Corinthians to question even further if they really wanted to be part of this. This church isn't, so maybe we won't as well. There would be consequences for Paul, for the Macedonians, but even the Corinthians themselves, as he goes on and he says in 2 Corinthians 9:4, "Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated to say nothing of you for being so confident." So those who spoke highly of us, we find here even more specifically, not only would Paul potentially be questioned, but ashamed is what he brings out. Those who took stock in us, maybe spoke highly of us, talked, and were excited about our example, they may have to explain themselves, may be embarrassed, and as I said already, people may not trust their word. But there also might be consequences for us, as Paul brings out here, and he says, "to say nothing of you for being so confident." Paul is speaking of how people will look upon the Corinthians, the shame they will face, the overconfidence that they had in themselves. There certainly are consequences upon our lives or our own lives as our influence is rendered void by how we live. And now we get the seventh and the last point as we consider 2 Corinthians 9:1 through 5 in this example, the model that we set is we as examples need to be teachable and learn from others. As it says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5, So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you had promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. So as we think about the Corinthians being an example, a model for others, Paul is sending Titus, he's sending this famous preacher of the gospel, he's sending this brother often tested to help the Corinthians in their example follow through, or to carry through on their plans. They were to be an encouragement to them, these three men. They were to exhort them if needed. They would help them follow through on the example that they originally set. And this could help them from being a negative influence. This could help them from being a hurtful example, as Paul has warned here and brought out the consequences in this passage. The Corinthians were to listen to these three brothers. They were to be guided by these three brothers. They were to be teachable. And so too, as we consider our examples this evening, we shouldn't walk away thinking of ourselves in a proud way that I am such an influence. I am such an example. I've got this figured out. But rather, we should walk away receiving feedback from others, taking it well when we are corrected or we are rebuked, humbly sitting under the teaching and the preaching of the word, being teachable, and that will lead us to being an example. So as we close out tonight, may we have a greater awareness of the fact that God uses our influence in the lives of others as we think about this passage. May we care about the example that we are setting. As Paul brings out the Corinthians' example, hopefully they would care about those that they were influencing in this way. May we rest upon God and the counsel and the encouragements of others to be a better example. May God even use us as a church, not just individually, but as a whole church to set an example for other churches. May God help us to be consistent examples, both individually and collectively. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for such a text that shows from the Corinthians' lives the example that we can be to others. As they were an example to the Macedonians, and the Macedonians were examples to them. And Lord, I pray that we'd walk away really realizing the influence that we should have, that others should have upon us as we think about our relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ, that you have united us to each other, that you have brought a bond through the death and the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that now we do have a strong relationship with one another as members of the body of Christ. And Lord, I pray that we'd realize the example that we set, and Lord, even the example that we can learn or look up to and learn from in our fellow believers. Lord, this is something that we certainly can't do on our own, even as we began, and we realize it's your grace in our lives. Your grace in our lives that you would use us in such a way, but also that you would teach us from others. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to show us your grace, that you would help us to learn from the example of others, that we'd maybe learn from their past mistakes or even learn from their positive and godly example of how they're serving, maybe from how they're raising their children in their marriage, how they speak, how they conduct themselves. But Lord, I pray even tonight we'd walk away evaluating our own example. How am I speaking around my brothers and sisters in Christ? How am I acting? How am I responding? Even how am I responding in tough and stressful situations? Lord, I pray that we would care about the example we are setting, that we would care enough about our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would be willing to change, first and foremost, for your sake and your word and living according to it, but also for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ and the example and the influence we have upon them. Lord, this is something we need, your help and your grace upon our lives for, and we pray that you would show that to us. And in your name I pray, amen. Thank you for joining us this evening, and you are dismissed.